Chapter 24. Just get there. Joshua 9. There was a man who was evil his whole life. He was a terrible father. He stole from everyone. He had addictions and lied and cheated every chance he could. But this same man would get diagnosed with cancer, and on his deathbed, he would give his life to Jesus moments before his passing. Are you kidding me? That's not fair, is it? He doesn't get to just do whatever he wants in life and at the last second sneak into heaven. He deserves to pay for what he did, right? He doesn't get to have what we worked so hard for our whole lives in a matter of minutes. Must be nice. Oh, come on, some of you were thinking these things, right? Or maybe you've had these thoughts upon hearing of someone like this. If it isn't this type of scenario, we've all at least encountered this concept. Fairness. We want things to be fair. We want justice to be served, and we want what we think we are owed. But let's be honest. We also really want God or life to throw a little extra our way, especially when we think we've earned it. It's human nature. In Joshua chapter 9, there were people called the Gibeonites. Joshua and all of Israel were blowing up the land, making Israel great again, defeating everyone in sight, and killing kings as God directed. God was taking back his land. The Gibeonites heard about this, and because they lived in the area, they were terrified they were going to be killed. So they devised a plan of self-preservation. If Israel was killing everyone who lived in the land, they would pretend to live far away. They would meet Israel in person before they could arrive at their homes and destroy them. They made their clothes look patched up and worn out. Their bread was moldy and dry instead of fresh. Looked as if they had been traveling for a long time, so it looked like they couldn't possibly live nearby. Sneaky, sneaky. Joshua believes them, and the Gibeonites would then ask him for a treaty agreeing to be saved and not be killed. Strangely, Joshua wouldn't consult God on this and agrees to the treaty with the Gibeonites. Joshua eventually learns they lied. While he was angry, he still honors the treaty. But as a punishment, he relegated them to be their servants. They would be woodcutters and carry the water for Israel. He would place them in the furthest corners of their kingdom where no one would notice them. The Gibeonites were the lowest of the low now. But at least they lived. Wait, what? They lied to Joshua and to God, and while everyone else had to die, they lived? That isn't fair. Why did God allow this? They should have paid for their transgressions. They survived by sinning. Every other enemy of God died. Shouldn't they have as well? Where is justice? But you see, they didn't serve God. They had heard of this God of the Jews, but they did not serve him yet. They didn't fear Joshua, they feared his God. They were on their deathbeds, and it was time to save their lives. Can you blame them? An army is making rounds in the land, killing everyone in the name of their God, and you're waiting your turn to die until they arrive at your home. Meanwhile, your family and children hug your leg, asking you if everything will be okay. What a difficult position to be in. They did whatever was necessary to find God's mercy and grace. They sinned because that's all they knew until they would know God themselves. Joshua got a little cocky and didn't consult God first, and if he had, they probably would have died. But they lived because of another believer's mistake or sin. So shouldn't Joshua die or be punished too? Or maybe the rules are different now. It's suddenly muddy, isn't it? The Gibeonites were punished, but they didn't care how, as long as they lived. They told Joshua to punish them however he saw fit. The same goes for the man on his deathbed and the Gibeonites. Even the harshest of sentences from God inside his walls, in the furthest corners of his kingdom, is still in his house and is safe. Who cares how they got there? Just get there. Even the lowest of the low in the gates of heaven is still in the presence of God. If life was to be fair, we all would be put on trial for the sins we have committed, including the ones not even remembered. We would all be more like Joshua. We so often fail to consult God and instead trust ourselves first. We are not so innocent. We are often more proud than humble, more jealous than grace-filled. In comparison, we are often not the prodigal son or daughter who left and returned home, but more like the brother in that story who was faithful but jealous. We are often not praising God for the one who has come home and has made it safely inside the courtyards, but rather asking where our reward is for having never left them. We often are not thankful another soul will not be separated from the love of God, but instead asking where is the praise for the faithful life we have lived that now feels forgotten. Why are others praising the one who strayed away and now they are simply shrugging their shoulders at the one who remained? We feel like no one can see our faithfulness. It isn't fair and it doesn't seem right, does it? Life isn't fair, and it never has been. We endure things that don't make sense. We face suffering, we face uncertainty, we face pain, and we are never told why. Sometimes we are the jealous sibling, sometimes we are the prodigal child. Sometimes we are Joshua, and sometimes we are the Gibeonites. But we all share one common bond. We are all fallen sinners, regardless. None of us are exempt from sin, and all of us have fallen short of God's glory. But we also share the same common hope, Jesus. Despite what we've done or how good we have been or deceptive and awful we were, there is always redemption and grace available to us no matter what walk of life we are in. This world we cannot see, full of angels and demons and fire and wars against evil and Satan, the same world where he is cast down into hell, taking those who refused God's truth with him, I think if we saw it all firsthand, we wouldn't wish that upon our enemies. We think we would, but if we were to see what the absence of God looks and feels like, we have no idea what eternal terror truly is. All we know in this life is the presence of God and the peace he affords us. He holds back what we can't see by his presence being here. We take that for granted because we know no different. It's always just been there. So who cares how someone makes it into the courtyards of heaven as long as they are there, right? Who cares if it was from a long life of faithfulness or at the last moment on a deathbed or the last moments of a thief on a cross next to Jesus? We all will have made it, and one thing is for certain, it won't be fair that we are there. Grace is a gift we don't deserve, yet it is given anyway. It isn't our job to referee the gates of salvation. It is up to us to honor Jesus in all we do, rejoicing when the one has returned to the 99. It's up to us to praise God that even those who are considered the least in heaven, even relegated to the furthest corners, are at least inside the courtyards. Life will not be fair, and an explanation won't always be given. But it is not our job to try to understand, but to be thankful we still have the choice to enter those gates on our own terms. We are to gather as many as we can to come with us before it's too late, no matter how they get there. Once we do, it will soften our hearts toward the one on the deathbed or the one on the cross. For we all just want to be remembered on that day in paradise, no matter how we got there. Just get there.